Blog Talk Radio.
Cowards try to change our lives, change the things they despise in America. But heroes, fueled by freedom, that unalienable right to be, came to rescue the injured, rescue the innocent, rescue these truths we hold to be. Self-evident.
And once again, a very good Saturday afternoon to you and March weekend. Jason Hawes here with you on, indeed, this March 5th, 2016 on American Faith Today. Hope you've had a good start to your month. Hope you've had a terrific week. Hope you're enjoying a restful, relaxing, and rewarding weekend. And for those of you who are listening live, the chat room is open, and the call-in line is 347-989-8387. That's for anyone who's listening live or anyone who jumps in and starts to listen live. If you want to express yourself in either one of those manners, if not, that's fine as well. And certainly if you're listening on the archive, after this will have already been recorded, then, well, needless to say, those two little factors are completely irrelevant to you. So just ignore me on that point, but hopefully not for the rest of the show. But anyway, glad to have you. And like I said, hope you've had a fantastic week. Could be a, well, I don't know entirely as of yet what the coming week has in store for me. There could actually be a roundabout kind of different path to me doing something completely different, by the way, which, you know, who knows where any of this will lead. But I could actually be getting back into an actual radio station, actually not as somebody doing anything on the air, but I was contacted. Do you want to be a salesman at the station that you used to work at several years ago by somebody? And like I said, I don't know. It's an option that I'm considering. There hasn't been an interview, although there's one that, well, there hasn't even been one scheduled. There's a few days that there's a scheduling of an interview in the works. We'll put it that way. And like I said, I don't know where this is going to lead. And I don't know how the interview would go. And I don't know if an offer would come and if I would be wanting to go down that road. It would take some thought and some prayer. But it was interesting to kind of come out of the blue because obviously I've always continued to have an interest in and a passion of sorts and an affinity for broadcasting and for radio. And as I don't know if I've ever said on the show here, but certainly I probably have, or at least indicated it, that certainly actually getting back into and being on the air at a radio station or having a radio program that's actually carried out over the air on radio stations would be terrific. Would be fantastic, which, again, this is not really that. That's kind of unrelated, but I do think, too, that it's actually kind of nice, though, to be in control and, like I said, not have a station manager or a program director or someone saying, well, you know, that doesn't, what you're talking about or what you're advocating or what you believe in doesn't really fall in line with our guidelines. And so, like I said, some independence is great. But it was interesting to get that email and have that phone call, kind of things potentially in a roundabout, not exact way, coming full circle. But again, who knows? It's in the hands of, in a sense, it's in my hands. In a sense, it's in the station owner's hands when we finally do meet. And, of course, it's in God's hands. So. But like I said, it was interesting to kind of get that email out of the blue from somebody who saw my resume, was looking to recruit somebody, and said, well, wait a minute, this guy used to work at this radio station. Maybe he'd be interested and maybe he'd be a fit. But anyway, like I said, I don't know what the coming week will have in store with me with that or anything else. But we'll see. And as far as today's show goes, I have, once again, several stories that I wanted to get to, more than I can possibly cover, I am sure, in 45 minutes or so of a span of time. But a lot of stories here on our culture wars, a lot of stories particularly on abortion and Planned Parenthood-related things, a story on marriage, on gay marriage, and the Supreme Court Obergefell decision, the state of Alabama's reaction to that and standing against it, which good for them. And but I wanted to start off with something that let me lead into this first of all by saying, no doubt you've heard from me either on the show or if I talk to you online in some fashion or another. I am somebody who absolutely believes that we are living in the last days, in the biblical end times. And certainly those who are not believers scoff at that. Those who are not believers poo-poo that. Those who are not Christians or Bible believers mock that and say, oh, you're full of it. You know, these days are no different than any other, and these times are no worse than any other, and we're not at the end of anything. Just live your life and leave it alone. And, of course, as Christians, as Bible believers, we could even point out that such an attitude kind of is an indicator, and it's kind of a fulfillment of prophecy even, that we are in the end times. But they, of course, would deny that and poo-poo that, and it kind of becomes a circular type of thing. But certainly I believe that we are in these latter days, and certainly we're at a time in which there's a push more and more for everyone to come together in some way, under some banner ideally of peace, under some banner of joining together, even to kind of give an acknowledgement to a site that I like to check out from time to time, World Events in the Bible, to give an acknowledgement to that site, even a kind of come together as one unit, one group of civilized people around the world to fight this scourge of Islamic terrorism. But there's a push to join everything together, join everyone together under one big, united, globalist, one world banner and entity. And one of the things, the story I'm going to start off with here, certainly falls in line with that and with something that, again, is not anything new and is something that I even talked about on a different subject last week when it comes to the indoctrination of our young people, the indoctrination of our school children. And I saw this, I went back to not the website, long story, but the Facebook page of a website that I actually first came across. And when I first started this show in 2012, 2013, whenever it was, end of 2012, I believe, one of the first websites that I actually pulled stories from was a site called earstohear.com. And I was at their Facebook page. I found this story. It actually comes from, it was posted on Sean Hannity's website, which I do have to say I'm not a big fan or not a big admirer or not, I'm disappointed. And people like Sean Hannity, people even like Rush Limbaugh, many of the conservative icons or conservative talk show hosts, conservative commentators who basically have allowed this individual, of course, who I'm not backing, who I don't believe is a conservative, who I believe is someone who would actually wreck and destroy much of what we value as conservatives and much of the country if he were elected president in Donald Trump. And, you know, I'm very disappointed in people like Sean Hannity, very disappointed in people like Rush Limbaugh, who do not have an obligation, obviously, to endorse any candidate, and do not have an obligation to run their show in any manner other than what they feel is best, but nonetheless, as stated conservatives, should feel some sort of an obligation. I know objectivity is very important, but should feel some sort of an obligation that if there's somebody who maybe is not all he would claim to be or is cracked up to be, that maybe could not even be trusted to do what he says he's going to do, then you would think they would feel some sort of obligation to bring that out to the forefront instead of just giving anyone in that situation free publicity. But anyway, I digress a little bit, which I don't have a lot of time to do. But I did see this, like I said, it happened to be linked on Sean Hannity's page, and it goes into this indoctrination and this globalism. And there was another story that goes along with this that's connected, that actually it was like a six and a half minute YouTube video that I'll probably just post on the American Faith Today Facebook page for time's sake. It's, like I said, connected, indoctrinating school children, elementary age school children, in both cases, I believe, to be citizens of the world rather than citizens of the United States. But anyway, this on Sean Hannity's page, headline, outrageous. Public school students taught to pledge allegiance international flag. It is widely accepted that American public schools are controlled by liberals. It seems like every day we see now examples of American school children being indoctrinated with left-wing ideas. The latest example was brought to our attention, this again, the Sean Hannity show, by a concerned parent. Kindergarten students from PS 75, a public school in New York City, recently took part in a class project in which the children were made to create an American flag with the flags of 22 other nations superimposed over the stripes. So you might even say that America is taking a back seat to these other nations, to this globalism, to this one-worldism that, again, is being brought about. But superimposed over our stripes, below the flag read the words, quote, "We pledge allegiance to an international flag." Now, on the Facebook page, I'll put this up, there'll be a link, of course, that I'm reading from. You'll see this picture in which you have the American flag. You have basically all the stars, or almost all the stars, visible. But indeed, superimposed over the stripes are these drawn, colored, miniature flags of other nations on top of our flag. And this flag is being auctioned off as a way to raise funds for the Parent Teacher Association. According to the description offered on the auction site, the students made a beautifully painted stretch canvas American flag and then applied flags from all the Spanish-speaking countries onto the stripes of the American flag. All the children chose a flag to color using colored pencils, and they were glued onto the larger American flag. The stars are cut canvas, which are painted and decorated with real Swarovski crystals, gold and crystal colored. But again, at the bottom, a quote, "We pledge allegiance," and the description here at the website, at the auction site, the fun quote on the bottom is about unity and creating an environment in which everyone is welcome. "We pledge allegiance to an international flag. Our dual language classroom strives to be a place that everyone feels welcome." And it adds that although the description claims that the flags are limited to Spanish-speaking countries, which I suppose would be bad enough, the Russian flag is amongst those that are included. "This is the type of globalist indoctrination we have come to expect from the public school system, but telling impressionable young American children, kindergartners, that their loyalty should be with some nebulous idea of a global community rather than their own nation is a new low." Now, there is an update. The auction site on which the flag was featured has taken down all images of the item as well as any description of it. But, again, you will see too little too late. In fact, in terms of anybody, I mean, it's already been seen. What was seen cannot be unseen, and you will see it if you go to the American Faith Today Facebook page. And certainly want to mention that, but also you could see it at Hannity.com. Look, and I know that a lot of Donald Trump supporters, I know that a lot of Americans are mentioning that the single biggest issue that we face, the single biggest threat that we face as a nation is illegal immigration and the fact that basically we don't have a border. And, you know, all along I have said or I have believed that that's not, to me, necessarily true or entirely true. Is it a big threat? Absolutely. Is it a, and I may have said this on the show, could it be something that could be, if you will, a kill shot to the American Republic and to our country, unchecked illegal immigration? People just coming across, not assimilating, but just coming across to change the culture, take advantage of our incredible generosity, if you will. I mean, could that ruin everything? Absolutely. But, you know, as I draw back to, again, somebody who I mentioned, Rush Limbaugh, who has, if you listen to his show, has taught us and has told us that everything is political. And, you know, I've been of that mindset, but as I back up, you know, I have to say as a Christian, that's not necessarily true. That is not necessarily true as a Bible-believing Christian. Not everything is political. Everything is spiritual. It's not liberal versus conservative so much. It's not Democrat versus Republican so much. It's not even a nationalist or patriot versus globalist so much. All of that factors in, but it's being on God's side or being on the world side and even Satan's side. That's where the struggle originates. That's the heart of it. And that is indeed even the heart of our political differences. And certainly illegal immigration is a huge, huge problem. And this is, quite frankly, offensive. And it's both offensive and tragic that we would be indoctrinating kindergartners to pledge allegiance to an international flag, even if it's supposed to be some, quote, fun little project, some fun little moneymaker for the PTA. But if you focus only on that, or if you believe that's the only problem that we have, you're focusing on one front of the battle. You're focusing on a symptom of the disease. The cause is godless people. The cause is godless Satanism. The cause is lining up on his side of the battle rather than on God's side of the battle. And again, is his side of the battle pushing illegal immigration, among any other things? Yes. But it's not the only front in this battle that we're waging. And I would add that if you are a Christian, and if you're not, that's fine as far as this point and this argument goes. But if you are a Bible-believing Christian, and if you believe, as I do, that we're in the latter days, then be aware of the times that we're in. And be aware that more than likely there's not going to be a wall built along our border. More than likely, we're not going to solve this illegal immigration problem. More than likely, the borders will become even more open, and there will be a push for even more and more globalism. And we don't lament that. You can in a way, but you just simply become aware of the times that you're living in and prepare yourself and prepare your mind and be aware and be awake and know how to act within those times, so that you're not caught unaware and that you're not caught unprotected. And you know what? And I talk politics, obviously, frequently, but if the country's lost, the country's lost. But you be aware of what's going on within the country and around the world, and keep an eye on prophetic signs and keep an eye on world events so that you don't fall asleep in these very interesting and very precarious times that we are in. Now, on a little bit more of a positive note, like I said, state of Alabama, I have so much respect in one sense for the state of Alabama, and then again, so much disappointment that they just recently, by a fairly substantial margin, voted for Donald Trump, and you even have, of course, Senator Jeff Sessions endorsing him. But it is a state, obviously, that has a lot of Christians in it. It is a state that, as a general rule, is very conservative. And I have a load of respect for Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore, who, of course, even went through a time in which he was removed from that position of the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court and then was reelected to it. But anyway, the Alabama Supreme Court has rejected, and you know this has been taking place obviously over a period of time, but they've rejected the United States Supreme Court's marriage opinion. Montgomery, Alabama, in a 170-page ruling on Friday, this from barbedwire.com, the Alabama Supreme Court rejected the U.S. Supreme Court's marriage opinion by issuing its own judgment in favor of Liberty Counsel's petition for mandamus. In the petition, Liberty Counsel demanded on behalf of its Alabama clients, the Alabama Policy Institute, and the Alabama Citizens Action Program, that the state's probate judges obey Alabama's constitution and laws. On March 4th of last year, the Alabama Supreme Court ordered the probate judges to immediately cease issuing same-sex marriage licenses. Again, in accordance with Alabama state law and Alabama state constitution, which should be what every single state's Supreme Court should follow first and foremost, is their own state constitution and their own state laws. And every state, by the way, has the right or the ability to do something like this if they have the courage to do so. Now, this doesn't mean that they win in the end, but this means that they're standing their ground on this issue. And the Alabama Supreme Court, again, rejecting the United States Supreme Court's 5-4 marriage opinion, labeling it illegitimate and without legal or precedential authority. Chief Justice, again, Roy Moore, and Justice Tom Parker issued concurring opinions openly criticizing the U.S. Supreme Court marriage opinion, using Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts' term of 5 lawyers when referring to the Supreme Court Obergefell opinion. Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore wrote a blistering 105-page concurring opinion. Now, some of the highlights. He says, I agree with the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, John Roberts, and with Associate Justices, rest in peace, Antonin Scalia, Clarence Thomas, and Samuel Alito, that the majority opinion in Obergefell has no basis in the law, history, or tradition of this country. Obergefell is an unconstitutional exercise of judicial authority that usurps the legislative prerogative of the states to regulate their own domestic policy. Additionally, Obergefell seriously jeopardizes the religious liberty guaranteed by the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. Very, very true. Based upon the arguments of love, commitment, and equal dignity for same-sex couples, 5 lawyers, as Chief Justice Roberts so aptly describes the Obergefell majority, have declared a new social policy for the entire country. As the Chief Justice and Associate Justices Scalia, Thomas, and Alito eloquently and accurately demonstrate in their dissents, the majority opinion in Obergefell is an act of raw power with no ascertainable foundation in the Constitution itself. The majority presumed to legislate for the entire country under the guise of interpreting the Constitution. The Obergefell majority presumes to amend the United States Constitution to create a right stated nowhere therein, which is, as Moore says, a lawless act. He adds, I submit that our founders knew a lot more about freedom than Justice Kennedy's opinion indicates. They secured the freedoms we enjoyed not in judicial decrees of newly discovered rights, but in the Constitution and amendments thereto. That a majority of the court may identify a, quote, injustice that merits constitutional correction does not dispense with the means the Constitution has provided in Article 5 for its own amendment. In other words, it's not really the place of the Supreme Court, he's saying, to declare an act or a law or a statute to be unconstitutional and to impose some new edict on the entire country, but rather it at best is a, and again, this is of course my own explanation, but it at best is a where the Supreme Court could make a plea or a consideration or give advice or make a request that Congress or and that the people of the country pass some new amendment to change the Constitution in that manner. It goes on to say, although the court could suggest that the Constitution would benefit from a particular amendment, the court does not possess the authority to insert the amendment into the Constitution by vehicle of a court opinion and then to demand compliance with it. That's not the constitutional prerogative or constitutional role or constitutional power of the Supreme Court. They don't make the laws. They don't write amendments. They don't vote on amendments. That's a matter for, in all of that, a combination of the Congress and the states and the people therein themselves. But anyway, again, I probably should move away from this because I didn't spend a lot of time even reading it. There's a ton of information here, a ton of bullet points that, again, for time's sake, as I'm already coming up on 5 o'clock, and I'll be off the air at about 5:15, for time's sake, I won't carry this any further, although I could. But like I said, I didn't really read the whole thing to begin with. I read part of it, and the gist of it is Alabama's standing in the Supreme Court of Alabama, led by Chief Justice Roy Moore, is standing for the Alabama Constitution and the Alabama state laws, which is as it should be, because it was the legislative body of Alabama, and it was the people of the state of Alabama who had a say in those things, not some majority of justices on the United States Supreme Court. And like I said, every state could at least take up that battle if they so chose, but of course, hardly any state does. But credit to Alabama, and God bless, certainly, Chief Justice Roy Moore seems to be a very courageous and a very loyal in terms of loyal to, actually is loyal to the U.S. Constitution, loyal to his state's constitution, and loyal and faithful to Almighty God. Now, also from barbedwire.com, to give you an idea once again of just how much people in this world and people in certain realms of this world, certain segments of our society and our culture, how much they absolutely, I mean, just when it comes down to it, hate God. Brian Fisher, barbedwire.com. Scientific paper refers to the Creator three times, which naturally the punchline to this, that was not looked on too kindly. But a peer-reviewed scientific paper three times made reference to the Creator, which, by the way, is, of course, very generic, but made reference to the Creator before the politically correct Gruppenführers who run the scientific establishment freaked out and killed it dead. The title of the paper is or was Biomechanical Characteristics of Hand Coordination and Grasping Activities of Daily Living. In other words, they did a study on how the human hand works and how it functions. The Chinese scientists who produced this paper were so struck by the complexity of the human hand and its virtually infinite dexterity that they could not help but see in it evidence of the handiwork of a Creator with a capital C. For instance, they say the biomechanical characteristic of tendinous connective architecture between muscles and articulations is the proper design by the Creator, capital, to perform a multitude of daily tasks in a comfortable way. That was the first no-no. Then again, they say that the complex structure of the human hand should indicate the mystery of the Creator's invention. This, by the way, in large part from communist China, keep in mind, which obviously there's Christians and there's believers in China, but in the paper's conclusion, they compound their so-called errors, saying our study can improve the understanding of the human mind and confirm that the mechanical architecture is the proper design by the Creator for dexterous performance of numerous functions. As Fisher puts, triple oops, and yikes. The last thing they point out is if man wants to design robotic hands that work, they'd best imitate the design of the master Creator. Well, obviously, again, the powers that be that unfortunately control the scientific establishment, it seems we have establishments all over the place. We have a political establishment. We have an educational establishment. We have a scientific establishment. We even have a religious establishment, if you will, for some who might know where I'm going there. But anyway, they mention on several occasions a Creator. And by the way, there's a lot of scientists who, when they actually do real science, and when they actually go into it objectively, and when they look at living things on this planet, when they look at the design within each of us, within this universe, within even the simplest life forms, come to a belief that a Creator certainly was at play here. But what we have, of course, is we do have this scientific establishment. We do have science that really isn't even science. You know, science is supposed to be an objective search for truth. And look, as Christians, as believers, we have a bias. We want, or we certainly want to have and want to highlight objective truth as well, but we believe that does come from God and from the Bible. But science is supposed to leave room for any legitimate theories and hypotheses that will stand scrutiny. And if they do not stand up to scrutiny, then they're discarded. But for a mention of a creator, three or four times in this paper or in this study, as it says, the Blackout Brigade struck with a vengeance, and everybody scrambled to make the most abject apologies possible. The paper's authors meekly began talking about, quote, translation errors, and the journal's editors, properly horrified, apologized all over themselves and immediately pledged to retract the paper with extreme prejudice. We apologize for the errors and oversight leading to the publication of this paper. As Fisher says, so much for free thinking and following the evidence wherever it leads. And again, that is an accurate statement. There was no free thinking. There was no following the evidence. Now, I know there's some people out there that would say, well, there's no scientific evidence of a God, even though some of us believe, certainly, that yes, there is. But obviously not everybody believes that. But you know, that's not even the point. The point is that they put out a theory, if you will, that as complex as the human hand is, there must have been a creator that designed it. That's a theory. And it was not a theory that was given the freedom for objective analysis, for careful scrutiny. It was, you mentioned God, you mentioned a creator in a scientific paper. Shame on you. How sad. How very, very sad by people who claim to be doing science. Now, in the remaining time, a couple of things that are very, very unfortunate. Again, I'll just spend a little bit of time on each of these stories, and one bad, one good, and then I'll wrap up, if I can, or if I have time, just a little bit with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. A abortionist, there's a big battle, a big case ruling over abortion and abortion bill, abortion law in the state of Texas, which this is kind of connected to that. But an abortionist who appealed to the Supreme Court in oral arguments this week says Jesus would supportively hold the hands of women as they abort their children. Amy Hagstrom Miller, whose Texas abortion business conglomerate, Whole Women's Health, owns and runs seven abortion facilities, says she is mission-driven by her commitment to human rights and justice. What about the rights and what about the inalienable rights in the Declaration of Independence that all of us have to life? I guess that's really not something that she's obviously committed to. But, you know, people are stretching. Any biblical reference, any reference to Jesus, any reference to Christianity, to try to make it fit things that it absolutely will not fit. And, you know, needless to say, I can't imagine that it's something that makes our Father, that makes God too happy. Now, on a little bit better note, kind of a negative and a positive, in Kentucky, you had a reverend, Lauren Mayfield, pastor of the Lyndhurst United Church of Christ in Louisville, Kentucky, a guest of pro-abortion state rep Joni Jenkins, a member of the church, who delivered an opening prayer to the Kentucky General Assembly, in which she prayed for these legislators to work toward preserving the dignity of women, dang it, in the quest for reproductive justice. Because, again, it is so much a priority of our Heavenly Father that women have the right to have their baby they carry inside of them murdered. Again, along these same lines, now there were people in Kentucky, there were legislators in Kentucky who have boycotted daily prayer, boycotted the daily prayer after this minister prayed for an abortion. So, again, I don't know if that's entirely necessary, but good for them for at least making a statement to try to stand for what's right. Now, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, real quickly to finish. These could be the two people, of course, if it stands, that we have to vote for in the general election in November. And I had somebody tell me that, try to, quote, correct me when I said that Hillary Clinton wanted more abortions. And this person said, I don't understand the pro-choice position. I said, I understand the pro-choice position. I also understand Hillary Clinton. This from LifeNews.com. 10 times Hillary Clinton revealed how extreme she is on abortion. Now, I got to go quickly. I don't know if I'll mention all 10. But, of course, she mentioned in a speech to the Women in the World Conference, religious beliefs and structural biases have to be changed to expand abortion, saying deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed because far too many women are denied access to abortion. Also, Clinton attacks bill to protect unborn babies from painful late abortions. The Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which protects unborn babies 20 weeks and older from excruciating late abortions, Hillary Clinton spoke out against that, attacked that bill. Also, Hillary Clinton at Drake University called abortion a fundamental human right. She received the endorsement of radically pro-abortion Emily's List. She received endorsement of the nation's largest abortion provider, Planned Parenthood, which, by the way, I also saw that Hillary Clinton has donated from campaign funds, has written thousands of dollars in checks to Planned Parenthood. And Planned Parenthood, I believe, has committed to investing $20 million to get Hillary Clinton elected president, by the way. Clinton defends Planned Parenthood after videos expose the organization's traffic of aborted baby body parts. STEM Express CEO Kate Dyer, also in those videos, has endorsed Clinton for president. Hillary Clinton calls for ending the Hyde Amendment, which basically, as much as it can or as much as they allow, keeps taxpayer funds from going to fund abortions. Clinton attacks state-level efforts to enact common-sense protections for unborn children and their mothers. And also Clinton likened pro-life Americans to terrorists. So, again, Hillary Clinton is indeed very, very pro-abortion. She does want more abortions. I'll stand by that. I'll continue to stand by that. Now, as far as Donald Trump goes, again, you got Donald Trump out there saying he's pro-life. Like I said, he's not pro-life. He's pro-choice. You're not pro-life if you're saying that if a woman wants to have an abortion for reasons other than rape, incest, or her life at stake, as long as it's early enough, that's okay. You know, and that's not exactly what he said, but he said it depends on when she would want to have the abortion. That's pro-choice. But anyway, Donald Trump out there, of course, saying that he's pro-life, that he would defund abortion, or that he would defund Planned Parenthood, but at the same time, talking out on the other side of his mouth, saying that they do wonderful things. LiveActionNews.org, there's an article from Christy Burton Brown that I'll post, basically debunking that, saying sending mixed messages on Planned Parenthood is a service to the abortion industry. Planned Parenthood coerces women into abortion, fails to help women who choose life, and fails to report the abuse of minor girls, and there is a documented case of each of those things in this article. Planned Parenthood's 3% claim is false, which is documented here. Planned Parenthood sees an incredibly small percentage of American women every year. And again, you know, as I pointed out recently in another post on the American Faith Today Facebook page, I believe on my own personal timeline, and also on the Facebook page of Free Republic, and as is pointed out in this article, we have over 13,000 community health care centers and federally qualified health centers that can help low-income women and their families nationwide that in my state outnumber Planned Parenthood by a ratio of 10 to 1. So there is no need to fund Planned Parenthood, period. And Donald, as always, just seems to want to try to appeal to everybody at the same time while basically standing for absolutely nothing. Anyway, I'm Jason Hart.